Buenos días. Juan Chi.
Hola.
Hola, that's good. Well, most of you, either you are very shy or you need to learn some Spanish. I went to Kilkil to learn proper English, by the way. I don't know if that made a lot of sense to me when they spoke to me that lingo, but I hope you can understand me. I'll try to do my best with the language. It's a great privilege for me to be here today and speak to you a little bit about the work in Spain. And now I was talking to Reverend Foster about this deputation video I have, but he told me that you're going to watch this video sometime at the prayer meeting during the week, maybe this week or some other week. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the work in Spain, and the rest you're going to watch it in this video. The last time I was here in Northern Ireland, and actually in your congregation, it was in 2019. I was telling you a little bit about the new church building project. We were still working on it, the refurbishment and everything in it. Well, we praise the Lord that we finished all the work in the building. Well, there's still a little bit to be done, especially in the basement. There's two floors, but there's still a little bit to be done. And we are working there in the church in Alcorcón. Actually, when I think that I've been there serving the Lord, ministering in the church in Alcorcón for 20 years now, I can't believe how quickly the time flies. And the Lord has been blessing us. We have about 50 to 60 people attending the services. If you watch the video, by the way, you will see there that there are very few people at that time, because Mr. Alistair Hamilton and his daughter Catherine, they went over to Spain at the end of July. So most people they were away for their holidays, but there's about 50 to 60 people attending the services. And this year we had a family and a woman that they joined the membership of our church. And just before I came over, we had several visits. There were two families, new families, and a young man, well, actually two young men and another woman from Brazil. And one of the families and one of the men, they've applied for membership there in our church. So the church is growing. The Lord is blessing us. There's also some people that are going through our discipleship course to become members of the church. So you can pray for that as well. And this year, we had the election of two new deacons in our congregation. And that was a great encouragement for us, as they have a great zeal for the Lord. And we also need more ruling elders in our congregation, so you can pray for that the Lord will provide for elders in our congregation. And together with the church in Alcorcón, we have also a work in Toledo. Toledo is it used to be the capital in Spain, so it's a very well and old city. And there we have a new work. Actually, it's nearly new. It's been there for about 6 years now. And there is a minister there who is a missionary from the States. He went over to Spain, and we met him. He has the same doctrinal line as we do, a good, faithful Presbyterian minister. And he's working there under the decision of the church in Alcorcón in Toledo. And we have two of our elders. They're working in the work in Toledo. That's one of the reasons why we need more ruling elders. They are working there with the work in Toledo. And you will see everything there in the video. But there is now 11 communicant members there in the church in Toledo. And God willing, soon it will be established as a church. And there is also a man who went over from Brazil. By the way, just in case, so you hear the names, this man, this minister, his name is Mark Whitty, so you can pray for him and his family. His wife, by the way, is from Ukraine. And they have several Ukraine people attending the services there in Toledo. I think there's about 20 Ukraine people. And Natalie, that's her name, Mark Wade's wife, she translates the services, the messages from Spanish to Ukrainian, so they can hear their own language in they can hear the message in their own language. And we have also this other work that is about to start. Just to give you a visual idea, you have Madrid, then you go more or less 45-minute drive down to the south. That's where Toledo is, and then from Toledo, if you drive about 30-35-minute drive, and it's again about 40-minute drive from Madrid. There's another town. The name is Aranjuez. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but Aranjuez is a very well-known city in Toledo and the province of Toledo, and that's where our king goes there in the summertime to stay for a few weeks. So that's a very well-known place. And this man from Brazil, he's an ordained minister. He went to Spain, more or less the same story as the Reverend Mark Weedy. We met him, and he's from a faithful Presbyterian denomination there in Brazil. He wants to work with us under the decision of the church in Alcorcón. And he just moved there about 1 week before I came over. I came over the 10th of September. So that was at the beginning of the month of September, and he has moved there with his wife and the three children, and they want to start there with Bible studies through the week. There are two families there that they want to meet together with them, so that's a start, and you can pray for that as well. Because we have this new building, and it's the Lord has provided with this building, it's a great blessing. We have very good communication through public transport just a few meters away. We have a subway, we have the bus that connects all Madrid, and it's just right there nearly at the entrance of our church building. And there, just in front of the church building, we have a pathway and a bicycle track, so there's people all over, walking by all the time, every minute nearly, just in front of the church, so they can see the church there very easily. And the Lord has blessed us with this new large building. It's really large compared to what we used to have. It can accommodate over 150 people. So just last year, through this year, we began to run youth rallies, as you have over here. And I think we had five youth rallies through this year. And in three occasions, we had around 40 young people. And in two occasions, we had nearly 90 young people. So that was a great opportunity to share the gospel with them. So you can pray for those things. For the church in Spain, the church in Alcorcón, for those who are now attending, new attenders, those who are applying for membership and are going through this through our discipleship course, and also for the work in Toledo and the Reverend Mark Weedy, this new work that is about to start in the city of Aranjuez with the Reverend Rafael, I don't know if I said his name, Rafael and his family, and also the youth rallies, we want to continue with those, and also for the need of new ruling elders in our congregation. And as we see that the Lord is blessing the work there, and there are new works, places where to worship, we're also working on the Book of Church Order to establish a presbytery there, so you can pray for that as well. And of course, pray for us, as the Apostle Paul said, and also pray for us, that the Lord will enable us to, enable us to continue to serve Him there in Spain, in the church in Alcorcón, and these other areas, and that He may be glorified in doing so. I just want to thank you all for this opportunity both your minister and the congregation here to give me the opportunity to come along and speak to you just a little bit about the work in Spain, so you can remember us in prayer. And I want to thank you all for your faithful support and your prayers throughout all these years. Now, if you can turn to your Bibles, please, we'll consider a very well-known passage, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. But we're going to read from verse 8.
Verse 14. And before we read God's word, let's all turn to Him and we'll ask Him for His blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time that we can come before Thee to worship Thee. We praise Thee that we can do so through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank Thee for His work, for His person, for His blood shed on the cross. We pray Thee that Thou will bless us at this time as we come before Thee to consider Thy word. Father, we know and we acknowledge that we by ourselves can do nothing, but we thank Thee that we have Thy Holy Spirit that worketh within us and that also ministereth us Thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that thus, as we will be coming to the Word, that Thou wilt bless us, that Thou wilt speak to our hearts, that Thou wilt deal with every one of us here gathered together today. And Father, to that end, I pray Thee that Thou wilt bless me, that Thou wilt enable me to preach Thy Word, and that Thou wilt give me liberty concerning the language, but above all, that Thou wilt enable me to preach Thy Word faithfully, and that Thy word will become to us, and will be coming to us in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless us at this time, and may we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Father, we pray Thee all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now it is verse 14 that I want to draw your attention to for a few minutes. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. If you see this from those verses we have read, we find here one of those passages that describes the mercy, the love, and the grace of our God in a very beautiful way. And the reason why the Lord deals with us in his mercy, in his love, and in his grace is found in verse 14, the last verse we have just read. For, or because, that is, the Lord deals with us in his mercy, in his love, and in his grace, because he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now, when we read that verse in this context, it's strange because, you see, it's saying that the Lord knows our frame. And when we read frame, that means our spiritual condition. And our spiritual condition is sinners. We are sinners before God. We have broken His law, and we deserve hell. So how could that be of any comfort to us? The fact that He knows our spiritual state, that He knows we are sinners. How could that be of any comfort? And again, we read, He remembereth that we are dust. And dust is the consequence of man's fall into sin. Thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. So how could that be of any comfort? He remembers, the Lord or God remembers the consequences of man's fall into sin, and we have sinned together with Adam and in Adam. So how could that be of any comfort? By the way, I've seen over here, because of the weather, you don't have much dust in the houses. But over in Spain, in Madrid, it's very dry. So if you just leave your door open there, everything will be covered by dust within a week. So imagine that you go to sunny Spain for a week, for holidays. And you leave your door open, the window open, right? And you come back to your house after 1 week, and everything is covered by dust. Well, nobody will go and say, oh, lovely. No, nobody likes dust. Everybody that remembers dust, everything that dust comes to our mind is not for good. We don't like dust. So this is the same. How is it possible that this verse is saying that the Lord remembers the consequences of our sins, and nonetheless, that is here for our comfort. And how that could be the reason why He deals with us in His love, in His mercy, and in His grace, as a father who pitieth His children. Well, the key to understand all these things and verse 14 is found in verse 7. We haven't read verse 7, but it's because from verse 8 we have this description of the Lord. In verse 7, we read, He, that is the Lord, made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. And then we find the description of the Lord, how He is merciful and gracious and loving. So the Lord revealed Himself, His ways and His acts of mercy and love and grace to Moses and to the children of Israel. And that's the reason why He deals with us in that situation, remembering that we are dust, knowing that we are sinners. So we need to go back to the writings, the holy writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the hand of Moses. We need to go back to those writings, those books, the five books that we find there at the beginning of our Bibles. And there we find an expression that goes through all those books that we find here in verse 14. And the expression is, God remembers. God remembers something, and God remembers somebody. And He continually says, I have remembered. I will remember. I have remembered this, and I will remember you. So let's go back to those writings. And I want you to think, while we go through those passages, there are 8 references. I'm not going to deal with them in depth. I'm just going to explain you the context. We're going to read through them, and we'll go to the applications, so that we can understand this verse 14. That is the end and reason why the Lord or God deals with us in His love, in His grace, and in His mercy as our Father to us, His children, though we are sinners and we deserve hell in and by ourselves. So let's go back to those passages. First one, and if you have your Bible with you, you can follow the reading as well. Genesis 8, verse 1. This is the first passage. I said there's only 8 passages that says God remembers something, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. 8 passages. And those 8 passages describe all the different circumstances and all the different areas of our lives that we can encounter, and how the Lord deals in our lives through all the circumstances in His grace, love, and mercy. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Now, in what sense God remembered Noah? Second reference. Genesis 19, verse 15. We find in this verse how and in what context the Lord remembered Noah. Genesis 9:15, and I, God speaking to Noah, and I will remember my covenant. I have remembered you, Noah, because I have remembered my covenant. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. The Lord remembered Noah and his family, and they found, as we read there, he found grace in the sight of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord. So he didn't perish in that flood. They were kept and saved within the ark. Why? Because the Lord remembered his covenant with Noah, and then he remembered Noah, his covenant of grace, in the midst of all that destruction because of man's sin. The third reference, we find it in Genesis 19:29. And here we read about Abraham and Lot and how the Lord destroyed, again the same subject, same context, God destroyed all those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and so on, because of their wickedness. Nevertheless, the Lord remembered Abraham and then he remembered Lot. Genesis 19:29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Context, destruction because of man's sin, the consequences of sin, and nevertheless, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, and then he preserved Lot's life, and he saved him from this destruction. Fourth reference. Genesis 30, verse 22. Here we find Rachel. Rachel, that was Jacob's wife, and she had a problem. She couldn't have any children. She was barren. She couldn't have any children. So she prayed to the Lord. And then we find here in Genesis 30, verse 22. And God remembered, see, same, the same sentence, the same expression. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. He gave her a child. Now, if we continue to read, that child was Joseph. And Joseph was God's instrument to preserve the children of Israel from dying because of the famine. There was no food all over the country. So God used this son that he gave to Rachel when she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayer, and through Joseph the Lord preserved the life of all the children of Israel, because though there was famine all over the country. And there we find that God again remembered his covenant, his grace toward them, and he saved them from destruction. Now, we go to the book of Exodus. We find here the fifth reference, but now the situation has changed. See, Joseph, in order to preserve the children of Israel from dying, he took them to the land of Egypt. And now the situation is very different. Exodus 24. Now they're in bondage. They're in slavery in Egypt. But we read Exodus 2:24. And God heard their groaning, that is the groaning of the children of Israel. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And the following reference, as we find it there in Genesis, with regard to Noah, the Lord remembered Noah, and then the next reference explains in what context, in what sense the Lord remembered Noah. It's the same here. Exodus 2:24, the Lord remembered his people, his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now, 6:5, Exodus 6:5 explains in what context, in what sense he remembered his people under his covenant. Exodus 6:5. And I have also, God speaking to Moses and the children of Israel, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. And you see, this is the moment, the worst moment in the history of the children of Israel. They're in bondage there in Egypt, and the male children of the Jews, of the Hebrews, are being killed by the Egyptians. But now they're crying to the Lord. The children of Israel are crying to the Lord, and he heard their groanings, their prayers, their cries, and then the Lord answers, and he visited them when he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now he's going to act. He's going to work on behalf of his people, though they were in bondage. And when we go to the next reference, we jump to the book of Leviticus, we find here something very interesting. Because we've seen Genesis, there in Genesis, how the Lord remembered his people in his covenant. We've seen that in Exodus, how the Lord remembered his people in his covenant. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 42 and 45, the Lord makes, we could say, a summary. He makes a summary of both Genesis and Exodus. That is, how the Lord made his ways known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also his acts to the children of Israel. And in Leviticus 26, he makes this summary. And I want you to pay attention to the emphasis the Lord puts on his words. Leviticus 26:42. Then God speaking to Moses and the children of Israel. And then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham I will remember. You see, in the other references, he was going from Abraham to Jacob, and then now he is coming from Jacob to Abraham. And also my covenant with Abraham I will remember. I will remember the land. Verse 45. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Now, remember Psalm 103. We have read there that God is as a father who pitieth his children that fear him. And here we find the Lord is repeating again and again and again that he has dealt with his people, with the children of Israel as his people, because he's their God. According to his covenant of grace, love and mercy, though they are sinners. And he has kept them through their history and through their lives. Now, with that in mind, we come to the last reference, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 26 through to 29. And here again, we find something very interesting, because we have seen that through the first seven references, we see that God speaking to his people I have remembered. I will remember my covenant and my people. And then Deuteronomy chapter 9, we find here that it's Moses who is speaking. Not God, it's Moses who is speaking. And now he's speaking, or rather he's praying to the Lord. Now he's remembering, here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, he's remembering what took place, what happened at Mount Sinai, when the children of Israel left Egypt. There we read that they sinned against God. They broke God's law. And God started to destroy some of the children of Israel because of their sins. And then Moses prayed to the Lord that he would be merciful to them. That he wouldn't deal with them according to their sins. Then we read Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 26. That is Moses, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness. By the way, I'll stop there. Remember Psalm 103. The Lord made his ways known unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel, and all that description. And all that description is found here in these verses we are reading. Through that greatness which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember, see what Moses is doing? The Lord had made his ways known to Moses through all those years. And now the Lord said, I have remembered with Noah, with Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, with Jacob's wife, and with the children of Israel. I have remembered my covenant, and I will remember my covenant. And now Moses is praying to the Lord, Lord, remember, you have revealed yourself in this way, so now I come to you in the same way. Lord, remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with whom you made the covenant of grace. Look not unto, Psalm 103, look not unto the stubbornness of thy people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sins, lest, and here is Moses' argument, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, and the Lord said, I have brought these people out of Egypt with my mighty hand. So Moses takes God's words and he prays over those words. Lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. The Lord revealed himself, his ways, his acts to Moses and to the children of Israel as the God who was merciful to them. He was almighty and merciful to them, and he saved them through all those years, through history. And now Moses is saying, here the heathen will come and will say, you see, God is not almighty and God is not merciful. And they'll say, oh, he wasn't able to bring them into the land because he's not almighty. And he hated them, actually, and he wasn't merciful to them. So that's why he took them to the wilderness to destroy them. So Moses is praying over these arguments, over these reasons that the Lord gave through history and how he made his ways and his acts known to Moses and the children of Israel. Why? Because God remembered his covenant of grace in Jesus Christ, of course. And that's why he dealt with his people, not according to their sins, not according to their wickedness, but according to his love, mercy and love, as a father who pitieth his children that fear him. Now, in the light of all that, We find here three applications. I'm just going to mention very briefly. The first application, we find here that all those who are outside of Christ, those, and you might be here today and you're outside of Christ, Christ is not your Savior, He's not your Lord and Savior. We find here that God deals with His people not according to their sins, not according to their wickedness, though He knows that we are sinners and the consequences of our sins, in spite of that, He deals with us in His growth, in His grace and mercy and love through Christ. So if you are without Christ this morning, if you don't believe in Christ, if you are not believing in Christ, if Christ is not your Savior today, that means you're not under God's grace. You're not enjoying His love. You're not one of His children, part of His inheritance. God will deal with you in His wrath, as we have seen through those passages. Maybe, like in the times of Noah, those around, they didn't care about what Noah was doing. They just lived their lives. And maybe you're just living your life, and you think that's all right. Well, the flood came, and everybody was destroyed because of their sins. Or maybe, through a time, like Pharaoh, through some years, he was just a few days. Through the years, you've heard about God's word. Who is the Lord? Who is the only God? And then because you've heard, it will come to a point when you will harden your heart, and then you will leave. And then you will even look to God and His people with resentment. You will despise them even. Well, God punished the Egyptians because of their sins. And even the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, they all left Egypt. And you have also enjoyed, even you without Christ, you're also enjoying some blessings. You are together with the people of Israel, the people of God, the church of Christ, as those who left Egypt, they were true believers, but there were many others who were not true believers. But nevertheless, there was a time that they sinned because that was their hearts. Their hearts were not right with God. And then they perished because of their sins. And you might be here today, and though you're within the people of God, true believers, you're not a true believer yourself. And you must come to Christ and receive Him as your own and personal Savior, because that's the only way God is going to deal with you, in His love, in His mercy, and His grace, through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So come to Him in repentance of your sins and faith in Christ. The second application we find here, again, you see all those passages we've read, describe all the different areas and circumstances we go through life as Christians, as believers, as children of God. And in some of those circumstances, you might come to think, because of those circumstances, the Lord has forgotten about me. As a child of God, as a true believer, you might come to think, the Lord has forsaken me. Well, look at those passages again, very briefly. The first one, God's wrath is upon the world, because we have all sinned. And I don't know if it was at this time of prayer at the beginning of the service, or it was at the prayer time there in the room. Somebody prayed that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So everybody, in and by themselves, in their frame, we all are sinners, and we all deserve hell and God's punishment. And then the church is here in this world that is under God's punishment and under God's wrath. Or maybe more specifically, the following verse, When we read about Abraham, Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you live in this town or your neighborhood, is all it's very much into wickedness and sin. And you might think, well, has the Lord forsaken me in this neighborhood I live in this town? Or maybe the town will go down the road in great wickedness, and at that time we'll think, well, the Lord has forgotten us. He has forsaken us. Or maybe, as Rachel, you go through different circumstances in your personal life, material needs, temporal needs in the material area, or health, and so on. And you go through those circumstances, and you might think, has the Lord forgotten about me? Has he forsaken me? Or again, with the children of Israel in Egypt, you are enjoying freedom of worship. You come here and nobody is coming and persecuting you. But it might be, the time might come when persecution will come. And then when persecution, as in many other countries, persecution will come. And then when persecution comes, you might think, well, has the Lord forgotten about me? Has he forsaken me? Or even that reference when Moses prayed because the children of Israel sinned at Mount Sinai, and there was a lot of them destroyed because of their sin. And you live in an age of apostasy. There are so many churches here in Northern Ireland, and there are so many that have apostatized from the true faith. And you will think, well, has the Lord forsaken us? He has forgotten all about us because of all this apostasy. And you might think through all those circumstances, the Lord is not remembering us. Well, you see, through all the circumstances, whatever your circumstance is, he tells you, I will remember you. Because I will always remember my covenant of grace in my Son, Jesus Christ. So pray to him. Have encouragement. Find comfort in the Lord. Because he doesn't deal with us according to our sins and according to the consequences of our sins, but in his love, grace, and mercy through his covenant of grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And third application, and because of all those things, see, we find here Moses, how he came to the Lord. He came with arguments because he has revealed himself to us. Through his word, he made his ways and his acts made known to us. And we find it here in his word, in the Holy Scriptures. Moses prayed on the basis of God's revelation to him, and we must do so. When we come before the Lord, when we are in all those circumstances, how can we find comfort in the Lord? Well, remember his words, remember his acts, remember his ways. And in order to do that, we need to know God's ways and his acts. And we need to come to his word. Actually is the main means of grace. And through faith, and by faith, receive his word that will comfort us. And using this means of grace, his word, let's take his word and pray to him over the word of God. And then we'll find comfort. Because that's what Moses did. Lord, you've said, I have remembered and I will remember. I have remembered my covenant. I will remember it. I have remembered my people. Then I will remember my people. Lord, remember. We bring arguments, biblical arguments, before the Lord in prayer. Now, we don't bring arguments before God in prayer in order to convince him. We don't need to convince the Lord. See, we read in the New Testament that all God's promises are yeah and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't need to come to God to convince him. It's not that God is close-minded, he's stubborn, and he's far away, and we need to keep coming on and on and on to him and insist. And then in the end, at the very end, then he's convinced. And then he will answer our prayers. We don't see that here. He will answer our prayers. And we bring these arguments not in order to convince him, but it's in order to convince us that we can come before him as a God, as a covenant-keeping God. Because that's the way he has made himself to us, through Christ our Lord. So every time you go through all those circumstances, you go to God, to your Lord and Savior, or our faithful Lord, and pray to him. Lord, remember, that is God, that is the way you work, and that is the way you have revealed yourself to us. So remember. Now, when we read God remembers, it doesn't mean, it's not the same way as we think, oh, I remember, I just forgot. I forgot something. I was about to forget all about it. But it just came to my mind, and then I remembered. That's not the way the Lord deals with us. That's not the Lord's ways and his acts. When we read that he remembered, it's not that he had forgotten, but it was at that time, at that very time, in God's sovereignty, that God deals and acts and works on behalf of his people. It's not he has forgotten, but in his sovereign will, then he works. He steps in, we could say, and then he works on our behalf. He preserves us, and he guides us, and he saves us, and he brings us into his care. So that's why we find comfort here. That's why he deals with us in his love and mercy and love. It is because though we are sinners and we deserve his punishment because of our sins and the consequences of our sins, nevertheless, he deals with us in his in the context of his covenant of grace. So every time you are through all those circumstances, and every time you come before the Lord in prayer, remember that he always remembers. You might forget about those things, but the Lord is not going to deal with you according to your forgetfulness, but according to his grace, his love and mercy, in his covenant of grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as it says there, trust in him because he deals with us in those beautiful ways, those who fear him, those who find rescue and trust in Christ as the Lord and personal Savior.